Actually, I got solicited for some, I got solicited today for the podcast.
How old was she? Because that's called a Lolita if she's underage.
It's an old man.
Oh.
He's not an old
that,
man.
That's called a, I don't know, a gray puma or something like that? I don't know.
silver, yeah, either a silver fox.
Welcome to the 200th episode of Jabber on the Drone, the movie review podcast that politely disagrees to agree. With me again is Keith Foster from San Diego, California. And back with us again is the former co-host, Richard Wally, from Portland, Oregon.
Pacific Northwest, bitches.
And I guess you guys get to fight over who introduces me.
No, you do it.
Okay. And with us... in the red corner is Cassidy Robinson from Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, you know, today we're going to be talking about all the Alien movies. We're getting our Alien on big time.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about this. Mm-hmm. So I didn't rewatch them all.
I planned to. That was my like goal. I watched one. I watched two, then I watched half of three, and then...
You did better than me. I pretty much only watched AVP 2. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, we'll get there. But it reminded me of in high school when we took a whole Saturday mm-hmm. to watch all the Alien movies that existed at that time. The three of us.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we.
Yeah, and it just it took me back. I was like... I don't know, nostalgia.
That's what they call that. Yeah.
No, it was a good memory. Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, I wish we had pivotal had
bonding
more
moment.
Food. when we did this, we only had frozen taquitos. We weren't even at any of our houses, were we?
No,
no, we were at the
house. yeah, we were, and Jimmy wasn't there. It was just the three of us in someone else's house.
Mm-hmm.
It was David Adler was there, too, for a little bit.
Was he? That's I don't remember right. that part.
Yeah. There yeah, was random I think people he came coming.
In during, like, a little bit of three, I think.
Yeah. Maybe that's great. And, yeah, I remember we were definitely malnourished for whatever reason. We didn't have any food in this other person's home, or we were too afraid to eat their food until, like... I think, like, we started Resurrection, and we were like, okay, just find something in the freezer.
No, it was way earlier than that. It was, like, halfway through, too, because we watched the director's cut, which is, like, 3 hours long. And about halfway through it, we were like, okay, we thought we could do this. and all there was frozen taquitos. Then we got hungry again later on,
mm-hmm.
but all there was frozen taquitos. And I still don't eat those.
That and that-
there was other stuff, actually. No, it's because we didn't want to make things. And you guys didn't know how, and I didn't want to make a big meal. And so we ate taquitos. That's what happened. Oh. It's like basically the story of our whole friendship.
The moral it's of the story
the story of my whole adult life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, I know.
On top of doing all of this, at the end of the show, we're going to do a little questionnaire, a little Q&A with some questions that listeners sent us, some old friends and pod family.
So now you're saying a Q&A. When you posted it, you called it an AMA, and I don't know what that is.
See, and I guess nobody else does, too, because nobody started answering until I called it a Q&A. But AMA means ask me anything. It's a Reddit thing.
Fuck you. You know what? No
this
wonder.
Isn't a subreddit.
Nobody.
This isn't
yeah.
A subreddit. You don't just come in here and impose your rules.
This isn't the dark web. Are you gonna put this on the Tor? Tornet?
Yes. I'm going to do all of that. Actually, what I'm going to do, even though we're going to do the official AMA / Q&A at the end of the program, after we've reviewed Alien Covenant, I'm going to start the episode off with some questions that we got from Rod from the listening party. He sent us some questions, and I thought they were...
Wait, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't the official AMA.
This is the official Q&A? This is the Q&A segment of the AMA. Now, this is a palate cleanser that we're going to do before we get into the reviews. Because I thought his questions were sort of general enough. It's a good kind of starting place to kind of look back at us,
okay,
which we've done a little bit, and the podcast as a whole. So he says, greetings from Montebello. Hope this isn't too late. If it is, no worries. I'll keep this short and get straight to the questions. And this one's for Richard.
Okay, loosening up. Got it. Ready. Go.
What does Jabber and the Drone even mean?
Jabber and the Drone, I just like the sound of it at first. I was thinking of Carpenter and the Well from Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. But the general concept, at first I just liked how it sounded, but just Jabber and the Drone is like, when you're talking about movies, there's just a general talk. Mm-hmm. And so it's the jabbering and the droning on. It really does just come down to, I think that critiquing movies is just opinion. So it's just referring to the general conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think critiquing is for.
I have a follow-up question for that.
Oh, no.
Which one of you is the jabber and which one is the drone?
Cassidy's definitely the drone. He drones on
us. See, you know what? Say that, and that was originally the idea, but I think if people actually listen to the episodes, I think I generally talk faster than you. I think I have a higher pitched voice. You have a more monotone way of speaking.
Well, you're a bitch for saying that.
In a bad way. I just meant the tones of our voices. I think I would come off more jabbery than you.
I think my personality is more jabbery than yours.
Maybe.
I think you're droney.
I think
as a person, as a human, I think you're a sad robot.
I think there's no
sad
way to know.
Sad Eeyore drone robot. Yeah, there's no. It really just has to do with general discourse. It's not a personality thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always just took it as sort of a general sort of thing because it's like just two different words for talking, basically. You're talking too much.
Yeah.
I had reasons.
Yeah.
I just never, you know.
And they're invalid.
Shared them with you.
Okay, he does have another question.
Okay.
He said, how did you all become friends, and when's the last time we all hung out? I think the last time we all hung out was at Keith's wedding 2 summers ago, like in person.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That sounds right.
Summer before last.
Now. Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is not San Diego, LA, or Portland.
Right.
No.
So,
or our hometown of Pocatello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who wants to give our origin story? How did we all meet?
That's actually convoluted and kind of long.
Well, okay, it
there's
can
a short
be.
Version. Though.
Yeah, the abridged version is we, you know, school friends,
high school drama.
Yeah, and not like drums, but like actual the program drama that that I wasn't in, but I always hung out with the drama kids because I was friends with Keith and da da da.
Yeah. If we want to get. I mean, you know, if
there's Alien, timelines and different dimensions,
if
and
Alien Covenant has taught me anything, it's that people need more origin. So Richard and I were originally like little kid acquaintances in grade school. Mm-hmm. We didn't really know each other. We hung out a couple times, like little play dates, little kid play dates.
True.
And then no real friendship yet. No hostility or anything else. Just didn't blossom at the time. Then Cassidy moved from Phoenix to
Arizona.
And him and I became misfit toys together in grade school. Uh-huh. We were friends. Then in junior high, I kind of had a beef with Richard. A nonsense beef. It was a nonsense. And then
because I was beautiful, just say it.
Yeah,
just say it, Keith.
It's true, and I wasn't. I was an ugly duckling, but now I.
But you grew into a beautiful swan. I wanted to say it.
Oh.
You're beautiful, Keith.
Yeah, and then in high school, you know, we kind of just started hanging out with Richard a little bit more, and we were like, oh, he's actually not a douchebag.
We all kind of like fell into the same level of high school weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I would say the other kind of part to that was comic books as well.
Yeah.
And movies, comics, actually.
And yeah, film.
We had a bunch of movie fests. Comic books were kind of the gateway, but that was around the time when all the good comic book movies were starting to come out, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a comic book shop. We would get together for the big comic book releases. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that it was all kind of just, you know, general nerddom brought us together.
Well, I know I didn't see Spider-Man with you guys because I went to that. I was 16 and I was super high and I laid on the front of the theater just crying because I thought it was so beautiful that Spider-Man was on film.
I might have also teared up. I was not high. But it was the same thing. It was just like the concept of like, what? Which is really fucking stupid.
Quaint now, yeah.
Like, had I known.
You were going to get so many Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, it is weird to think like back to that time, like when we were watching those Alien movies, how in 15, 16 years, we're all like communicating via fucking crazy computer, like.
Yeah.
We live in a weird world.
With our Star Trek technology, we're in conversation with each other.
It's insane.
And it's a dystopian with a strange man as our leader.
Yeah, so. It's like somewhere between dystopian and utopian. It's like there can't ever be an actual balance.
It's called the real world.
Oh, okay.
It's depressing.
What's that?
Okay. So thank you, Rod, for sending the questions. We're going to get to the rest of them at the end of the program. So that was a taste, a tease. But let's go ahead and start with our Alien Marathon reviews. And just so everybody on here knows, these aren't going to go into full reviews. These are going to be hot takes. Hot takes. So let's start. 1979, Ridley Scott's Alien, the first in the franchise. This is originally written by Dan O'Bannon. It was kind of almost a remake of the movie he made with John Carpenter, Dark Star, which was sort of a goofy space comedy that.
See, droning on and on.
I am. Yeah. I'm doing the thing that I said I wasn't going to do. And then, he got up a lot of financing and they made it with Hollywood in England, actually. But, you know, what are impressions? I mean, I think generally everyone, the argument is which one's the better one. Is it Alien or Aliens?
Alien.
You're on Team Alien, Keith?
Team Alien full.
I'm on the camp that they're very different movies. I personally enjoy Aliens more.
Okay. I think Aliens is more fun and accessible and a lot of other things, but if we're talking just straight up, what's the better film? I'm not saying what's your favorite film, what's the better film?
Yeah,
Alien is the better film.
I think you can, I honestly think you can make a case for both. Alien is the movie that made me realize that I can like some horror movies. I think we've mentioned this before on the podcast that I got scared very easily as a child. Like, it didn't take much in a movie to scare me.
I cried when Aslan died, right?
I think when Optimus Prime died in the Transformers cartoon too. Like, I was a very sensitive little pussy child. But you know, and then
this is why, like, we're friends, though, Keith. It's a balancing act.
You said. It is. It is. And then one weekend, my mom was like out of town for some thing, which she didn't leave town very often. So it wasn't very often when it was like dad taking care of the boys kind of weekend. But when they did come, they were always a lot of fun because, you know, he would let us stay up late. He'd always buy us frozen pies as dessert. And one weekend, he was like, we're going to watch the movie Aliens. And I hadn't seen Alien yet. I'm getting there. But, yeah, so I watched Aliens, and he was like, I was, like, really nervous going into it. I was like, I don't know, this looks like a scary movie. And he's like, yeah, it's not really. you know, and then we watch it, and I was like, I mean, yeah, it was kind of scary, but it was fucking awesome. And then later went on to watch Alien, which is definitely, like, the more horror of the two.
Sure.
And...
Well, funny that you say that, because I watch a lot of the special features again as well, because that's what I do when I watch these movies. And in some cases, they're more interesting than the movies themselves. But in this one, when they approached Ridley Scott to do it, and he gave them his elevator pitch for what he wanted to do, he described it as, I want to make Texas Chainsaw Massacre in space.
Yeah, it does make it better. I've heard that tell as well. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's basically a haunted house film in space, more so.
It is a haunted house. I mean, I see the aspect that I find very fascinating about the film. I saw it when I was a really little kid. I was always Team Predator over the Alien movies, like, honestly, as younger. But when I got older, when we first watched it, you told me about the H.R. Giger thing and all about the phallic and buttholes and all the other stuff going on in the background.
The psychosexuality.
And then once I watched the buttholes. when we were watching it, you know, that's when it was really like, oh, the film can do this as well. So So for me, it became a lot more chilling when I saw the subtext and I saw what was happening. And actually, when I saw it on the big screen, like a year or 2 years ago now at the Hollywood Theater here in Portland, some of that stuff is just visceral and dripping and disgusting.
Yeah,
and
I saw this
affects me.
I saw this once in theater too. It was at the Bengal Theater in ISU, which is actually a pretty cool theater. And I think you might have been working there at the time, Richard. But they
used to be cooler when I worked there.
I know.
But yeah, go on.
They showed it on Halloween once, and I went and saw it. And it is. Like, it is a different experience seeing it on the big screen, especially, you know, only having seen it on little tube televisions up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it on the big screen makes a huge difference. But, I mean, what can you say about this? It's one of those movies that, you know, I think whatever flaws there are, it's easy to overlook them. I can't even think of any right now because it's
elemental. I have a hard time even thinking. Like, I guess you could say, like, oh, this special effect doesn't work anymore, blah blah blah. But like, it to me, the movie is so bare bones, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's so elemental that everything is sort of it's a pretty well oiled machine in its minimalism.
And just like, I can't imagine, like, we've grown up in a time since Alien has always existed, right? So I can't imagine the cinematic landscape pre-Alien, you know, it's just sort of always existed to me. And so I think it's easy to kind of take that for granted, like how groundbreaking it was.
And how scary it was. Like, it's hard, like, honestly, I was sort of introduced to the world of aliens through the toys because they were all over the place when I was a kid, even before I'd actually seen the movies. And Alien versus Predator.
There's a question.
let's get into that with aliens. We might as well.
Well, my question is, like, why don't they make like horrifyingly inappropriate toys for like franchise toys for kids anymore?
That was sort of an era, and it was called the 80s and early 90s. And let's go into that. So Ridley Scott leaves the franchise, bring in James Cameron, who actually had once helped direct, or he was a production designer or something on a Roger Corman Alien ripoff that came out just a little bit after. Then he made the second Piranha movie, but it was really his work off of the Terminator that got him the job for doing Aliens. And he had an entirely different vision for the franchise, and I think one that is a lot more kid friendly. Even though there was no like Comic-Con wasn't really a thing back then, but this was like sort of that era of fanboy 1.0. All of these kind of sci-fi fantasies that kind of came out after, like, post Star Wars. And there's a little bit of that in Aliens, with this kind of jingoistic sort of macho, marine shoot 'em up kind of thing.
It's definitely goes in more of a pulp horror sort of direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it know, also it I mean it does, but it also does it smart and mm-hmm. elegantly, you know. And I think a big part of that was using Ripley, continuing to use her as the audience's cipher and as you know, really fleshing her out as a much you know as a three-dimensional character. It could have been very easy for them to just sort of write her off and just have the Marines kill space bugs. Mm-hmm. But there is
The whole more ethos levels. with the cat and the little girl and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I mean, while I think that Alien is the better film, I think Aliens has a lot of merit, and I think that it was the best way to take a film like Alien and make a sequel of it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a totally different kind of horror.
Well, it's a totally different kind of horror. It expands the universe. It also, I mean, nothing felt out of place. Like, I mean, while it was a very different beast, it felt of a piece. And it's, it is a perfect sequel in a lot of ways to me. Mm-hmm. And I think James Cameron does a great job. It's actually sort of strange that I prefer Alien over Aliens. Maybe it's just the Texas Chainsaw connection. Maybe it's because it's more horror, even though I love pulp action.
I honestly don't think I prefer either over either. Like, to me, they are such companion pieces mm-hmm. that I think both of them are necessary stories. Like, they fit so well together.
I think what we're, you know, this might sound kind of precious, but I think it's, you know, maybe Alien is the better film, but Aliens is the better movie.
I've actually heard that before, and I can...
I mean, if you have to make those distinctions, I think that's a good one to make. I don't know. I think they're both good. Watch it. If you ever watch them both. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Well,
I agree, but for conversation's sake, we just, you know, draw a line in the sand and say, put your hands up, Keith. Defend thyself, child, before I slap you.
At the end of the day, I think I will always pick Aliens over Alien. And see, part of that is it is a safer movie. You know, it is more fun. Uh-huh. I'm not really worried about jump scares or heebie-jeebies. And I have that nostalgia. Like, that was the first one I saw. That was my introduction to the Alien universe. So, I think I'm always going to be biased towards it.
It was one I saw as well. And I think that when my parents introduced it to me, which is weird because we have this R-rated thing, but whatever. I think their rationale for why it was okay for me to see it is because there was a kid in the movie. Which, again, it's a very kind of post-Spielbergian thing. That's in that. Mm-hmm. To sort of have this kid cipher to pull in that the beginning and the four quadrant movie marketing ideas. But I really like it. And watching it again, I forgot how much I like it. I was just like, especially watching it right after Alien. Mm-hmm. And it is so rousing and it is so fun. And I think what James Cameron does really well at this era of his career, especially, is there's great characters.
Yeah, you know,
the first one has very distinct characters, and they all play their parts in the movie, but it's so sullen and nobody's having a whole lot of fun in the movie. The second one, you have those Marine characters, RIP,
really bombastic,
Bill Paxton,
charisma, Bill Paxton. I think this is Bill Paxton's best role.
Well, this was a movie that really launched his career. I mean, he was in Weird Science and a few other things, but that was what really did it.
Yeah, and I. It's always, it just makes me sad.
Yeah,
this was my. I think this was my first, but how I remember this film is this is the first film that, like, I came and I sat with my mom, and we were down in the basement and we were watching it on a tube TV, and I sat with her and the scary parts came and I kind of clung and she's like, and this is the first time it clicked in my head, and I think it destroyed me for the rest of my life actually because, she just said it's just a movie, it's not real. And something clicked in my head, and I said, oh, okay. And then from that point on, I've never really had a problem with scary movies. So,
no, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, Aliens, yeah, it was my first introduction, too. I think it's, again, I think there's a lot of smart choices made just storytelling wise too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if we watch the first film, we've just got a bunch of space truckers who, you know, just kind of
happen upon
do their best. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And they just do their best and they kind of get destroyed quickly. So then you start the next movie with these ultra badass, they really want to show you how macho and badass they are. And then they're pretty much, you know, spoiler alert, but they're pretty much destroyed within the first
equally like, quickly. Third yeah. Actually probably quicker.
Yeah. And so it's, and so just setting that tone and doing almost kind of like a Hitchcockian kind of story beat by kind of flipping that kind of perception on its head really quick. It's really smart storytelling. So, I mean, I think it's a great movie.
And there's a couple, there's a couple of good Jack in the Box scares in there that actually got me that I forgot about. That had to do with like the facehuggers and stuff, and I I popped a little bit watching the movie.
That scene
it gets really gross when they go down into the basement and they're all kind of like trapped in there.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
And I think we can all agree that Paul Reiser is the worst monster of all.
Always has been.
Should we move on?
Yeah, Alien, let's go ahead and...
We're talking about the actor, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Good. Yeah.
I was going to make a weird, like, Twister, Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt, like, Bill Paxton thing, but I'm not going to do it. Let's go ahead and get into Alien 3, which is the first film ever by now super famous director David Fincher, who had just come off of a long career of making music videos and advertisements. He was the like fifth in line to direct this movie. He kind of got thrown onto the project after a lot of people couldn't do it or didn't want to do it or got their visions completely destroyed by the studio. The script was being rewritten as they were filming every day. They were using sets that were pre-built for other people's concepts and trying to rejigger them. Famously, this was sort of a disastrous production. But, I mean, Alien 3 is a real divider. Now, it's just now that I'm starting to see the revisionist, maybe Alien 3 isn't as bad as we all thought articles. And maybe that has to do with some of the later movies that's come out. But, I don't know. Hot takes. Alien 3, what do you do with it?
Well, you had to do the setup with the revisionists. I think the revisionists, all these articles, I have to roll my eyes so many times. You even, like, commented on one today with The Lost World. Anyway,
yeah.
Not to get off on a tangent, but ugh, revisionist articles on movies. My hot take, great concept. We know that had a long, lengthy, weird process to get where it was. With that great concept, and it could be like these hardened criminals and super badass, kind of in the vein of the second movie, but a little bit kind of inverted still. Super boring. Every time I watch this film, I just feel it feels dour, and I just am bored. I don't care when people die.
You know,
I kind of enjoy it because it's an alien film, but
I almost
the
never...
CG's bad.
Yeah, I almost never rewatch this one. I've never cared for it. I don't think it's not like garbage. It's not horrible to me. It's like a lot of good concepts in that do not make anything that is better than the sum of all its parts. I think this movie showed the potential of David Fincher as a director,
as a visualist especially.
Yeah, and how he was able to capture mood and tone, but that's about it to me. I think this movie, to me, there's nothing to hold on to in this movie. Whereas, like, the first one is so interesting, and the characters are so normal. They're just normal people. They're truckers that you can really put yourself in their shoes. And then the second one, those characters are charismatic and likable, and they're in a shitty situation. And the third one is just gross and grim and long and boring, and I just
it tries something complicated because I mean the concept, in case nobody's seen it, Ripley's pod lands on a prison planet full of rapists, essentially like weird religious zealot rapists, and when you introduce your characters first as these horrible people, and then those are the characters that you ultimately are hoping live through this, it makes it really difficult. It's risky, so I'll give them points for that. I don't think that it really pays off those risks. I think, yeah, more than anything, it's a mood piece. It's a tone piece. I think that's what David Fincher was, at that point in his career, able to do really well. But it, yeah, it's super boring, man. And it's, like, it. I forgot how boring it was. And I'd never seen it so close to watching the first one since that time when we did it. And then with other people there, you're able to kind of comment and laugh at things or whatever and talk through the boring parts or whatever. But when you're watching it by yourself, it is a slog.
Yeah, and it just, it's also just disappointing the way they wrap up the sort of the hanging threads from Aliens. Always felt like a cop-out to me. And I think they could have done that with a little more, I don't know, just from a storytelling point of view, it just feels sort of unnecessary. And
this movie does do a couple things to canon, though, that I think has been carried on through the franchises since. And that, you know, okay, so the second one introduces the Queen. That was James Cameron's big addition to the lore. And then Alien 3.
And really cements them as, like, these more, like, insect-like creatures.
Yeah, like bugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alien 3 introduces the concept of the adaptive species, because instead of coming out of a human, it comes out of a dog, and then it ends up being kind of dog-like. And all of the toy
and
makers...
Then you get and then you also get the prancing dog alien gif.
Yeah, that happened.
That's important. Okay, go on.
And Emma, these kind of concepts, like, later play out bigger in the franchise, especially, let's go ahead and move on to it. Alien Resurrection, this came out, I think, in 96, 97, directed by...
97. Directed I've been watching the Larry Sanders Show on HBO, and I just finished the last season.
You are an old man. What's wrong with you?
What?
Go on. You are an old man. What's wrong with you?
Hey, it's a really good show. That show was before its time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's an episode in the last season where Winona Ryder's on plugging Alien Resurrection, and I have never felt so old. And it feels so like 1997. It's insane. Like, we lived through 1997.
How old were we in 97?
Well, this would have been about the time that we all met each other. Well, I met you guys. So this would have been, we would have been like 11, 12.
Yeah. Okay. It's just weird to me. But anyway, yeah, Alien Resurrection.
Well, I was going to say, this one's directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet, who is a French filmmaker. He had made, before this, he had made Delicatessen and City of Lost Children, which are kind of sci-fi dystopian things.
Great movies.
Great movies. Yeah, very kind of artsy, more so than Alien Resurrection. This was his big foray into American filmmaking. Screenplay co-written by Joss Whedon.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna say it. I'm a bit of an Alien Resurrection apologist.
Yeah.
I mean, it does not hold up to the original two. Not at all. But I think it's big, dumb fun. I think it has to do with these, like, rogue smuggler characters that are that aren't as developed as the Space Marines as far as characters go. But they're fun to look at. It's sort of like a weird French circus. Like, you can really feel the French influence in this movie. It's bizarre. It's a bizarro. It goes real weird at the end. But I don't hate this movie. It was just kind of pulpy fun. I don't really ever revisit this one. Because if I do, I'm just going to watch Aliens, because it's superior in every way. But I don't hate it.
What about you, Richard? Where do you fall on Alien Resurrection?
I think it's just a mess. it is pulpy fun, but it is a mess, too. I think it has, you know, you can kind of see the beginnings of Joss Whedon and his type of writing. And, even kind of the gestation of Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, how do you say his name?
Jean-Pierre
Jeunet.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you could definitely see his art style and kind of the kooky little ways that he directs people. He even brings in people from some of his older films, like the little fellow in the wheelchair. He's in his other films as well.
Mm-hmm. And Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman as well, yeah. But it doesn't work for this world and how those kind of films and the horror aspects of it, I think it kind of pulls that apart. I think Joss Whedon's kind of dialogue pulls that apart as well. But as a kind of throwaway, kind of pulp, fun, whatever thing, I can still watch it and kind of have fun with it. Mm-hmm. It's not, again...
To me, this is the Beyond Thunderdome of the Alien movies.
For sure, yeah.
Like, there's a whole lot going on. Not a lot of it makes sense. It kind of falls apart at the end. But it's still, you know, you can still have a good time watching it.
Yeah, and if we're talking about, like, you know, different creators' additions to the lore, this one starts getting into cloning, which still is having an effect on the franchise. And this one gets real weird, and I never really liked it. I've never even seen it all the way through that many times, maybe twice. And I mostly am grossed out by the movie. It's a lot more kind of gory than the other ones.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
And it seems I agree with Richard. It's tonally it's off. It kind of feels like it's of a different world. Some of the set design is really cool, the Jeanne aspects of it, and I like some of the character ideas, I guess. Although, I think at this point, what really could have helped the movie is just, or Ripley, she just didn't need to be in the movie. Like, if the main character had been Winona Ryder's character, then you would have had this maybe kind of cool, like, Blade Runner-y thing kind of going on through it. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I honestly, Ripley is so... Because she's like half alien, she's a clone. It's like, who gives a shit at this point?
It's true, because it's like that I agree with completely, because they want you to relate, because it's like, ooh, Ripley's back, but it's not Ripley. It's this weird half alien hybrid clone that is not relatable. It's not a character. It's a bullshit. It is such a storytelling cop out, first of all.
Right.
To me, it feels like when we would play, with toys and stuff in grade school.
You're making it up as you go.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, but it's okay because it's a clone of this character. You know, it's comic book nonsense at its worst.
Yeah. But as a curiosity and as just a weirdness, down here, the Arrow is doing this marathon coming up. I may try and go to it. We'll see. Called the Weirdathon, where they just show four really fucking weird movies. And I know one of them is going to be Congo. but this kind of fits into that world. It's at best a cult thing.
I think a cult thing. And I agree. It is a little bit more entertaining. There's something about it that's a little... Just you can just sit through and go, okay.
Yeah, sure.
I don't actually agree with you guys about the Ripley thing. I thought it was fine compared to everything else. You have space pirates and cloning and all that other shit. I think with somebody to take the right direction with it, it could have worked. But but the problem is you don't have the right elements to make an alien movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even maybe you shouldn't have. There is an argument. Maybe you shouldn't have made any more alien movies. But.
it was going to get a whole lot worse.
Alien 3 is about the time we hit the diminishing returns. That's like when the radioactive half-life starts to set in. and you can see like each successive movie, the quality goes down a little bit more.
And let's go ahead and get into it. What was it, 2005, Alien versus Predator?
Before we get into AVP, I want to give a shout out to Alien Resurrection real quick for having one of my favorite nonsense basketball scenes from the 90s that does not make sense in a movie whatsoever. There was this weird period in the 90s where every movie... like shoehorned a basketball scene in because that was the sport of the 90s. And Alien Resurrection has one of my favorites. Okay, moving on to AVP.
I was wrong. The AVP came out in 2004, but yeah, we had just graduated. We moved in together. You guys were working at the movie theater, and you guys invited me to a special screening of, employees only screening of Alien versus Predator. We were so pumped. This is directed by Paul.
I killed a mouse that day.
You killed a mouse that day. This is directed by Paul.
That was the day.
W.S. Anderson. Not to be confused with Paul Thomas Anderson, the much more talented director. Paul W.S. Anderson, who makes those shitty Resident Evil movies.
And Mortal Kombat.
And, well, they sort of Alien-esque Event Horizon, which a lot of people think they like more than they actually do.
People keep telling me that, and I watch it, and I have fun, but it's not in the spectrum of Alien.
No.
You weirdo. You should. You'd enjoy it.
I don't know
I think it's too late.
It's too late.
It's definitely too late. And then I remember we came out of the theater. I thought it was really super shitty. And then you guys proceeded to gaslight me for the entire night.
Okay.
As should happen to you all the time.
Part of that, yeah. That sometimes it's just fun to push people's buttons.
All right.
You know what? At the time, I really wanted to like it real bad. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you first see a movie and there's a... Especially back then, there wasn't as many movies that you could psych yourself up about. You know, there's one every month now, literally. And back then it was like, you know, maybe every 3 or 4 months or every 6 months or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I really wanted to like it, but it's garbage. I mean, this movie's real bad.
See, for me, I'd been waiting since Predator 2.
Well,
again, I'm a, what?
We all have.
Yeah. They had the skull in there and I mean, as a kid, I was super into it. And so when they showed that skull, even as a kid, I saw it and I was like, aha.
Yeah. And it just makes sense.
And so I know you I still don't think it's a good movie. I agree. I think the concept is still kind of is a fun concept. There's aliens. There's predators.
Oh, I mean,
there's this big rite that the predators are doing to hunt the eggs. And the scientists are caught in the middle that are discovering this ancient civilization. The Lance Henriksen character, that's a ridiculous, weird shoehorn in thing that this character magically...
Which makes no canonical sense.
No, and especially now it makes less sense when you've got the whole, what's his face?
Guy Pierce.
Guy Pierce. When you have his whole connection to the films. Anyway, I still kind of thought it was... I still think it's you can have dumb fun with it.
Absolutely.
If you want to get drunk and watch a fun, stupid movie with your friends... And you just want to... I don't think it's that much out of the realm. I would still watch this movie over Alien 3.
Yeah, I probably would too. I mean, to me, it's not as good as Freddy versus Jason, which has a lot more camp factor, I think.
Right. I think Freddy versus Jason is still the gold standard of mashup movies.
Versus.
Yeah.
I'm just sad they never got to make the sequel to that had Ash in it, because that would have been a beautiful thing. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, that could have been a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know. It was whatever. But what's frustrating is the potential. Mm-hmm. It's not that this is a bad movie. It's that it
is a bad movie.
but a bad movie in and of itself is fine, because a bad movie is just a bad movie. You can just not watch it. But a bad movie that ruins the potential for something cool, to me, is a cardinal sin. Because the comic book is a lot of fun. I mean, granted, it's still not, like, super sophisticated story. It's, you know, hunter hunting the predator or the alien monsters. But it makes sense with the alien timeline. It takes place out in space. It's this weird mining colony that... also just happens to get caught in the middle of their work. And maybe it just works better as a comic. That's entirely possible. You know, maybe it's just too campy to take seriously as a movie.
Well, comics too can do the serialization. They can kind of take their time and they definitely have it handles pulp better because you're using a drawing as opposed to an actual real life kind of like person in suit or whatever.
Yeah, unless the art is like super representational, no matter what, there's a cartoonish quality to most comics.
Right. Well, you don't have to worry about it not make like this image like of a alien creature not making sense to this because it's being drawn by the same person. There's
exactly.
There's a disconnect there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to place the blame squarely in the hands of Paul W.S. Anderson, who's one of the worst working directors.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you, Cassidy, but in his au revoir.
Sure. Okay,
is this his worst film?
No, not even close. Okay.
Got you there, motherfucker. Got you there.
No, if you're grading on a curve, this is probably in his top five. But that is what I am saying.
Yeah, but okay, no, I totally agree with you, but I think some of the blame rests with the fucking the writers. Like
it rests with the actors too, let's be honest.
It's pretty much all the way around. It is
for me, honestly, the actors. Like I could watch just the Predators and the Alien parts. Mm. Like it could be like that martial arts film we watched, like the Protector or whatever.
Yeah.
And they could just fast forward through all the human talkie bits and get to the aliens predator, because that part, that stuff actually does work and it was fun. All the parts where the actors are talking is just not, because that is actually detrimental to that film too.
I feel
the
like
acting.
Yeah, I feel like there's this weird trend in movies to have to include humans in them.
Well, they feel like the audience will have no way into the movie without it.
Yeah, but it's like. But just throwing in these non-characters, like, that doesn't do anything either, because they're not humans. They're just broad, one-dimensional, representational caricatures meant to sort of be a placeholder for a human. Like, I don't give a fuck. If you're not going to make compelling, interesting characters, get the fuck out of my movie and let me watch some predators hunt some fucking aliens. Same problem with a lot of the Transformers movies. Like, I don't give a fuck. I want to, you know, like, we're not going down that road today, but I'm just saying.
You brought it up, though. You brought it up, though. That's your own fault.
What I'm bringing up is the fact that the human characters do not need to be in those movies. I don't need a Cypher for every pulp 80s franchise. Like, just, you know, go big or go fucking home.
I mean, okay, that again, going to like the Freddy versus Jason, like a more successful version of this kind of a film. It also had some bad acting. It had some kooky stuff like that. The reason it worked is, yes, because of the camp, but it also worked because you were still showing up for those films were showing up for the monsters. I think you'd get rid of the scientist premise and just have like the predators releasing these like rabbits into their hunting ground, you know, and just them running around and just viscera flying everywhere would have been beautiful. They just ruined it by trying to add in sense.
You mean like humans, like as bait?
As bait and as like something to get the aliens to latch onto so you can hunt them more.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
I just need them there to be a catalyst and something to kill.
Yeah, but they don't need to be characters.
To treat them like. Yeah, no, agreed.
One or two could live
to make it interesting. Like, you could have the, like, okay, if we're talking, we talked a lot about the, like, the new Predator movie. Mm-hmm. Have some, like, weird character like the, what's his face, from Justified.
Yeah.
Walter Goggins.
Goggins. Have, like, something like his characters, like, ha-ha, and Shank,
there was,
you know, a
there
Predator.
Was some
Everybody loves
that. Yeah. So anyways, that movie sucked. But you know what was worse? And I'd never seen it until a couple days ago because I hated Alien vs. Predator so much. Alien vs. Predator Requiem, which is directed by... who directed this movie?
Who cares?
The Strauss Brothers.
The Strauss Brothers, who had made Nickelback videos. And
I thought that was a joke.
No, that was not. Okay. I literally looked it up. Nickelback videos and another sci-fi movie that nobody liked called Skyline.
Yeah.
I thought that when that one came out, I thought there was like some like mild somebody liked it. I mean, I never saw it, but
AVP2?
No, not AVP2. Everybody hated
Skyline.
Always. Skyline, yeah. Anyways, yeah. There was that scene where the aliens, they're in the, like, the baby hatchery.
Yeah.
The for nursery. The human babies. No, the baby hatchery. And,
Well, I'm just clarifying for any of our listeners that have hung on this long that it's actually a nursery and not a baby hatchery. Because we are talking about, you know, the Alien franchise. So I'm just saying people not familiar with this movie might have
gotten confused. Just saying this movie is so bad that it doesn't matter what I say.
No, that's like, true.
Like, that scene is the only thing, like, you know what's really sad about that film is there's a predator in it and it makes me sad. Because he just, like, kind of follows along and doesn't really do much.
Mm-hmm. He kills all he some does. Humans.
It's pretty boring, though, and nobody cares. And
okay. I'm going to make a case for Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Okay.
I'm not going to make a case for it as a good movie, because it's not. There's almost nothing redeemable about it.
Is it like a square, like... like wooden box you're gonna make to put it in and burn it, because that would be a good case.
So this is garbage film, but it is a garbage film that was almost universally recognized as a garbage film, whereas the first one did well enough to garnish this sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So it does serve a place in that it is so bad that at least. It stopped this non-franchise.
It as glass half full. I see it as half empty, because I think a good director could have came in and made a good AVP movie. Like, not necessarily, I'm not saying, like, the next Alien to resurrect the franchise or something, but a decent, fun, pulpy adventure.
Sure. I don't think you could have on the heels of the first one, though.
Oh, I think you absolutely
I think the first
can.
One was damaging enough to... the canon that, like, now that we're in the era of rebootquel, mm-hmm. The sequels that reboot franchises, maybe, but at the time I don't think that could have happened, because this was a direct sequel. It takes place minutes after the first one, and I agree with you. I think a talented writing and directing team could have had some fun with it. I will say, though, that I kind of had a little bit of fun hate watching this. Whereas I haven't seen AVP, the first one, since we saw it in theaters. And so, I don't know, it might still have that sort of quality to it. I mean...
I'll say that I still haven't seen AVP... Requiem, because the goddamn lighting in this movie is so fucking bad, you can't see a goddamn thing that happens in the whole damn movie.
Oh, I get what you did there. I mean,
the whole plot is centered, like, literally is centered around the idea of a citywide blackout because they didn't have a budget, and it's clear that they didn't have a budget. It plays like a direct DVD thing, or like a Mockbuster, like one of those, like, Sharknado movies.
Oh, yeah, and it's ridiculous, and the story makes zero sense. There isn't a single likable character. No. Like you said, Richard, even the Predator is like, I don't give a fuck. I think this movie is horrible because it introduces us into the idea of the Pred Alien.
Well, that they tease that at the very end of Alien versus Maybe. Predator, so we knew that was going to be a thing. But they sure don't do anything with it. And again, I like watching those fight scenes between the Pred Alien and the Predator. I couldn't tell what was what. It's cut so terribly. It's lit so terribly. Mm-hmm. Like, I look like I'm just watching, like, two people dressed in black plastic bags bouncing off of each other in a dark room.
Yeah, pretty much. But
it's
again,
garbage town.
Oh yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, I think it's almost. It's almost to the point of so bad it's good. It's almost like the Room territory bad.
I don't think so. It doesn't have. I don't think it has. I don't think it's even the grim. I think it just doesn't have the entertainment factor. Because with the Room, Miami, man, I'm having a hard time with the titles today.
Miami Connection.
Miami Connection. Mm-hmm. Even like, let's go into something more in this the same ballpark, like Jason 10. Like Jason 10, you can see what's happening at least.
Yeah. And, yeah,
and
that's true.
You know what? I can watch that and go, that's ridiculous. And you can watch it and be like, oh yeah, David Cronenberg's in this film. Oh yeah, that's awesome that Jason bashes these people against a tree. That's silly. That's stupid. This film, you can't be like, this is silly and stupid, because they're taking it so ultra serious. And it's not, there's no redeeming factor. You're wrong. you should have gone with, you were building a case to burn this film in effigy.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. But part of me had fun with how seriously it took itself.
I don't even know necessarily, we're talking about this movie way more than we need to be, but I don't even know how seriously it takes itself. To me, the movie is like, everybody involved with making it was like upset that they were making it.
Well, the real discussion is the merits of bad, good movies.
This movie has so many nods to the original Alien franchise. This was a fucking passion project for the Strauss brothers. They fucking got this shit and they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna fucking do our version of Alien. We finally, what's up, Colin? We finally got the green light to make our stamp in the Alien universe. The main character's name is Dallas. The fucking military lady straight up has lines of Ripley's from Aliens.
I'm putting the kibosh on it, because where it really came from is, I'm sorry, this narrative is very fun. However, the screenplay was lifted from a Dark Horse comic book, and they just didn't have the budget to pull it off. And all of those nods, I guarantee, were in the comic.
They copied
from the script, and they made the whole $20 or whatever they were paid for this. Anyways, yeah, no, this was garbage. Let's
move on.
We can move on to Prometheus.
Yes, which came out in 2012, which is an unbelievable to me, because it doesn't
we did
feel
this,
like
didn't we.
I think we may have. I don't remember.
Was
I think
this,
we might have been in between
1.0.
I think this was between 1.0 and 2.0. Jabber the Drone.
Okay.
Yeah, Prometheus came out in 2012, and it was. This is the first movie that Ridley Scott has done in the franchise since 1979. He's had a hell of a career since 1979.
This came out the year we graduated.
Graduated college.
College, yeah.
Yeah.
So this film series, basically, we can link it to our life points in our life. This is kind of weird, guys.
Yeah, this franchise, like our entire friendship.
Yeah. Kind of. This is supposed to be the real prequel. You know that big spaceship at the beginning of the film that the Nostromos finds? This is supposed to explain that. Sorta, kinda, not really. The script is written by Damon Lindelof, who famously had just come off of Lost. This is before he started doing The Leftovers and everyone kind of forgave him. I was sort of an apologist for this movie. I kind of got that it's bigger themes about creation and the you know, these sort of where do we come from, who are we, existential whatevers. This is kind of carryover from 2001 Space Odyssey type stuff. I thought Michael Fassbender was magnetic in the movie as the android David. And I love the look of the movie. I thought it's gorgeous. And there's a lot of dumb stuff in here. There's a lot of Lindelofian stuff, the questions that hang in the air, just mystery for the sake thereof, that never really go anywhere. Maybe they will. We'll see in future sequels. But I
honestly think that he does with his writing, he leaves these weird questions and it makes it kind of provocative and you're questioning. And I don't think that was the problem. I think it comes down to bad character writing.
Yeah. Again, like the big picture stuff and all the mystery and the intrigue, I don't have a problem with any of that stuff. I sort of like that. In fact, I sort of like not knowing some of this stuff about the crash-landed ship that the Nostromo finds. And the more I find out about it, the more I like not knowing. But I'll say that, you know, it was a big sci-fi done in, like, a classical style, and we haven't gotten that in a while. I like Prometheus more for the stuff that's not like Alien than the stuff that is. Like, once it turns into a big monster show, I'm a lot less interested.
I agree with you. I don't mind the monster. Actually, I don't mind the monster stuff, and I don't mind the big white things and the tentacle stuff. I don't like when it is tangentially related to the xenomorphs and that kind of stuff. I thought the little add-on was very AVP-esque.
Yeah.
Where you get the little xenomorph at the end. I agree with you almost on almost every point, actually, because I do. I like the mysteries. I like the weird, like.
I just didn't care.
And I love the beautiful, like, imagery. Again, you're right. No, it comes down, Keith, I'm talking to you. You're right. Yeah. I didn't care either because it kind of comes down to character problems. And you know what? I kind of actually, I could relate to David or Michael Fassbender's character. I could kind of go there with Guy Pearce. I could kind of go there with Noam or Pace. pretty much everybody else, it was mostly kind of down to...
When your most relatable character is an android, we have a problem.
Well, I think he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be relatable in this movie. I thought Charlize Theron was kind of having a fun time with the two. I actually don't have a problem with the actual acting quality. It's with the decisions that the characters like go through. Like you have a biologist that literally grabs a vagina space cobra, and that's his first instinct is let's go grab that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if he was like Steve Irwin, like if they had some kind of weird like that kind of like quality to him, but they didn't. I also sometimes wonder, because I watched the special features, and it did show that character, specifically that biologist, was very kind of, he would go off and do things he wasn't supposed to. He was one of the first ones to take his helmet off. He didn't care about that kind of stuff. Like, they showed that he was haphazard. So I wonder if there's another Ridley Scott movie that we'll get in 30 years from his head in a tank.
I don't think we will either.
I think he's past his point for science fiction movies.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of ambition that amounted to nothing. But ultimately,
I can still watch it and enjoy it for how pretty it is. I can enjoy it for the creature feature-ness of it.
This, to me, this movie lands on, for my personal rating, it lands on the didn't like scale because, I'm not into origin stories. I'm not into prequels. I'm not into over-explaining shit to death. And my problem with Prometheus is much the same as my problem with Alien Covenant. Because these movies get made, it cuts off what I think would have probably been a better movie getting made. Because of this movie, Guillermo del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness didn't happen. And I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me. I mean, yeah.
I think because this movie didn't do as well as they wanted it to, his movie didn't get made. Because I think if it would have done better, I think it probably would have.
Sure, maybe. This is a very personal rant. I'm sick of the past looking more futuristic than the future. Stop it.
I'll give you that. I cut them a little bit of slack for their production design ideas there, only because the Nostromo was like basically an oil rigger in space. And
sure, but we're talking like
thousands of years.
At a certain point, it's like hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's an argument to be made there, but
I think it's kind of a nitty gritty. I don't think it matters that much. I think what it really comes down to is just the character, like, the characters make stupid decisions, and so you really can't really relate to it. It doesn't really have these wrap-ups with the storylines. And the best thing you got out of it was then we replace with a head in a bag. And if we're kind of leading up into the next movie, I'm not going to lie. The fact that we didn't have a movie about Michael Fassbender's head in a bag is very fucking disappointing. I was really looking forward to seeing his head in a bag, and I didn't see his
just
head in a bag.
Just Noam Pace walking around with Michael Fassbender's head in a bag. Yeah.
Yeah, walking up to the engineers. Hey, engineer.
See, to me, that's a movie. That's a movie I want to see. You're right.
I'll say one last thing about Prometheus before we move on to Covenant. And it kind of goes back to the idea of, like, I was more interested in the big picture stuff, the big question stuff, the philosophical angle, which I honestly, I think both Lindelof and Ridley Scott was more interested in that as well. And I felt like by the last third of the movie, it kind of gets into a rush to become an alien movie. And that's when I think it kind of falls apart. But I was invested enough to go into Alien versus Covenant somewhat excited because I thought there was an
Alien versus Covenant.
Maybe that
bring
was
in all these aliens and have them fight in this covenant.
Maybe that was a Freudian slip. Alien Covenant, because I thought there was enough interesting tags that I was willing to see where it went. Who wants to set up the plot of Alien Covenant?
No one.
No one does.
Because no one asked for this movie.
Space colonists, I'm going to do it quick because we're supposed to like go through this. Space colonists basically are out there. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to colonize somewhere. They get woken up too early. Get woke. Anyways, James Franco burns to death. Oh, that's a spoiler, I guess.
Not really.
No.
Anyways, I don't even know if it's a spoiler because it happens literally in the first 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Anyway.
You know, I didn't even know it was him until they showed the picture of him later.
I know.
Yeah, me too. I knew he was supposed to be in this film, but then when that happened and they showed the picture, I was like, oh, okay. There goes James Franco. Cool. Anyway, so they're colonists and they're trying to go up into the space and do some colonist stuff and terraform and blah, 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 science fiction. They get a mysterious ping of a country song being sung by apparently a crazy gnome or a pace. They go to investigate because the planet that she's on could be habitable. And so they go and they make a bad decision. That's again, this kind of jucks on one of the worst parts of Prometheus. This is characters making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And so they go to this planet. They start to explore it and find out what this little blip is. And they get introduced to this biological element. And you got weird white xenomorph things zipping around everywhere like little monkeys. And then you get more bad character decisions, and that's basically the gist.
Yeah,
I forgot. This is the most important point of the whole movie, and it hinges on this. When Michael Fassbender kisses Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a moment for the really weird homoerotic flute-playing scene between Michael Fassbender and Michael Fassbender.
Well, I mean, really, that's... I'm pretty sure that's how Michael Fassbender just, like, spends his Saturday mornings. He plays the flute with himself, and then he kisses himself.
Maybe.
And that's where his talent comes
from. It's really just masturbation, if you think about it. That's what this real
argument is. It's very complex masturbation.
It is.
Coming out of this
Shameless
movie...
Shameless,
too. I was walking... thinking about so many things about like, oh, I didn't like this, I didn't like blah, 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 blah. And then I just landed on that scene and I went into a fit of laughter in my car just thinking about that scene out of context.
I kind of did like, during the scene. I was like, oh, yeah.
That scene's a meme waiting to happen.
Oh, that scene is going to be just like, it's, I think it is... I'm kind of getting the vibe we didn't like this movie. I think that scene is the I hate sand speech of this franchise.
I didn't hate this movie that much. I think what summed this Alien Covenant up the best to me was it was a tweet. I don't remember who wrote it, so you're not going to get credit. Sorry, maybe write it in a paper and not a tweet. But it was something like... all critics agree that Alien Covenant is the sixth movie of the franchise.
I guess if we're putting a stamp on it, this is an Alien 3 kind of land for me. I think that there's a lot of promising stuff. There's some interesting stuff. I think there's some of the best boo scares, period.
Really? Scared me.
Some of the chomping and some of that stuff was really cool. I'm into the creature.
That was one
stuff,
of my though. Big disappointments was I was like how not scary this was. Like the little monkey things with the butthole mouths. I was like, you're not scary. And way too much of the movie is spent on you.
Michael Fassbender.
I think there were some cool ideas going on with, kind of with the David character. But I just don't think this movie was terribly well directed. Chest burster. Sorry. No,
I actually didn't mind it. That specifically if we're talking about the butthole-mouthed white little xenomorphs, that's when the bad character decisions carry over from Prometheus. Mm. I mean, part of me as a horror, you know, one thing as a horror fan that I think a lot of people give horror movies in general a bad rap for is bad decision-making of characters. Sometimes I think, like, well, just picture when a spider crawls across you. You make a bad decision, you jump out, you run into another car. People do stupid shit when they're scared.
Sure.
This film, they blow up a whole ship doing that. she locks her in. She locks a character to be just like mauled to death by this little thing and then opens the door again. There is an immensity of stupidity in one scene. I can almost give it credit, but they just did it so bombastically in the middle of this very dour film.
I also just didn't give a fuck about anybody, and nobody else did either. Like, the way they reacted to characters dying was like, that person's dead. Bummer.
Actually, you know, I actually was kind of there for Billy Crudup a little. I get excited every time.
He literally looks at a woman's head, severed head, and says something like, oh, you killed her, huh? I'm like, fucking really? Like, you... Like, I don't give a fuck. You see a floating head, you're going to at least go, oh, Jesus.
Depends. Like, I don't agree with that. I think that there's a different... I thought it was like a shock. Moment of like, oh, fuck. Things have turned. That's what I thought it was. For me, Billy Crudup, anytime I see him, I'm like, oh, Billy Crudup. And you're not...
I root for him. Yeah, he's one of my I root for you actors. And he's I'm waiting for his like big break, which is probably not going to come at this point in his career.
Oh, mm-hmm. If it would have come, it would have been with Almost Famous.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love Crudup. He's got credibility. That's a new thing that I just coined. So I love it. And I mean, also, and maybe this is part of the reason some of the stuff was not scary at all to me, was the trailer ruined the shit out of this movie for me. Like, there was so much... that was just completely given away in the trailer, and I was literally just going through the beats of the movie, just like, okay, well, now we need to get to this scene and this scene.
I didn't actually see a whole lot of the trailers. I kind of have been purposely kind of not watching trailers to anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same ballpark. If I see a trailer, it's because I'm at the movies, and I usually don't. Even if it's a movie I'm pretty excited about, I don't think about them that much. Like, I put my brain into a space where I'm watching it, but I'm not absorbing it. I'm just like, yeah, it's a movie. It's coming out. I know.
I'm basically the same. I do watch trailers, but I like to stop after a good teaser.
Right.
Like, I like a teaser trailer, and then I'm done.
Usually good. Like... Yeah. But I mean, so when I watch trailers, like, I don't try and think of like, oh, where's that scene going to fit? Or what does that mean or anything? Like, I know people like, they'll like go full diagnostics on trailers. I don't do that,
but like specifically the shower scene.
Well, fuck that scene. Can we? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, let's talk about that scene.
You guys have talked for a while. I need to get this off my chest.
Okay.
Fuck Alien Covenant. This movie is, I think, the worst of the real Alien franchise besides the AVP movies. Like, I think bar none, the worst. It's the worst parts of Alien 3 meets the worst parts of Alien Resurrection, all the weird cloney bullshit, and all of the weird dour characters who are constantly, you know, talking about how much everything sucks. It has the, like, it's super boring, like Alien 3. And the most interesting things from Prometheus, they completely do away with. They try to introduce all these themes in the movie to make it seem like it's a really smart science fiction film that has ideas on its mind, but it never commits to any of them. It tries to make you believe that it's about the Prometheus stuff about the creator and creation, and David is jealous of human beings because they're able to procreate and create, and he wants to be like God and a God complex, blah, 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 blah. That never really goes anywhere. Then it tries to be a movie about grief and mourning, and that would have been the most interesting angle, but again, we don't care about the characters enough to care when any of them die. And then it also tries to be this whole kind of continuation of the of alien pestilence, destruction of mankind, blah, blah, blah. Along, and now retroactively makes me really not like Prometheus all that much. This movie just feels like fan fiction and bad fan fiction. And if we're going back to stuff that reminds me of Alien 3, shitty CGI. Like, yeah. It's all over the place, and it dates badly now. And that could have been because it was made for 3D. I'm not sure I saw it in 2D, but sometimes if you watch a 3D made for 3D movie in 2D, the CGI stuff looks more fakey.
I think so a little bit, actually, because I know what you're talking about, specifically one of the xenomorphs, like when you see it and it's standing flat.
Like
you
all can of see them in the movie?
Well, it's angular. No, it's specifically it's one of the classic more xenomorphs. Right. You can see how angular the body is. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I specifically marked that in my head and said, oh, that's for a 3D movie. But I don't completely agree. I don't think fuck this movie, but I agree to the sense in what it does. I think that the whole robot whatever thing, I think that could have been done well as a theme if it was handled well. I don't think that that's the stake in the heart, if you will. I think it's just poorly made film.
To me, this movie was three scenes that were written and then tried to tie together.
Yeah, it was because I tried to think of it as like just a movie going experience, like, okay, cut away all the fanboy stuff and the fact that I've loved this franchise for a long time, for better or worse. I've watched them all.
Yeah, at this point, there are more bad Alien movies than good ones.
Yes. I tried to think of it as, okay, this as just a movie, as just a sci-fi horror film, how does it hold up? Still not very well. It's a structural mess. It tacks on this ridiculous fourth act out of nowhere, and then we get to that ridiculous, like, Friday the 13th shower scene, and you know that they only made that scene so they could put it in the trailer.
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the things in the trailer it was in the teaser, and it was like, I knew that scene was coming, and the whole time they're down there on this planet, I'm like, oh, okay, well, obviously it's going to get off, you know, like, but besides that, it was just, besides everything else, that scene sort of sums up everything that's wrong with this movie for me, because A, it takes place with characters who I literally don't even know the names of,
Tennessee. That's the only one I had. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, anyway, so there's these two characters that we literally don't know the names of. Hooking up in a shower gratuitously for no real reason because everyone they know just fucking died. We already know the aliens on the ship and they're already hunting the alien that's going towards them. So it's like there's no actual suspense there. We know what's going to happen. We know they're going to die, and it's going to be like not even a good jump scare. To me, that is exactly what this whole movie is. It's like, well, sure, the alien's there, and sure, there are victims for it to eat, but we know way too much about how it got there, and we know way too much about where it's going, and I don't care about any of it.
Yeah, it feels like this, again, it's just so tacked on. It's like, when that started, when they left the planet finally and there's a xenomorph on there, I was like, are you serious? This is where the movie gets started? That was all just a first act? Just a fucking long first act? Oh, Jesus Christ. And then it just ends. And I'm like, what? What?
Because Ridley Scott, I read an interview with him.
Yeah.
And he said that he was like, this was to start a franchise one. And which, you know, right. Now in retrospect is a bad omen. Two, this is something he said. He said, I never realized with Prometheus, people didn't like that movie so much because the xenomorphs weren't there. And so I feel like people didn't like Prometheus as much as, you know, he wanted them to. So that was his like reasoning was that because he needed to put more of the original xenomorphs in. And that I was like, and so when I connected that to the actual film, I was like, oh, okay, that's what this is. To be honest, I don't think it's pretty bad, but I think it's mediocre bad. I I don't think it, I think it's, again, like Alien 3, I think is mediocre bad, but it's so boring I'm not going to watch it. This film is so, there are brief moments of greatness. Again, I will watch the shit out of Michael Fassbender, even if he's kissing himself and doing weird flute stuff. I didn't mind his little silly, like, I mean, it was super silly too, but it was like very classic, like horror movie, like leaving him with, oh, this is a spoiler, by the way, with leaving him with like, oh, by the way, I'm the bad robot, not the good robot.
Oh yeah. It was so obvious, but yeah.
But it's a classic horror nod. And I was kind of like, oh, that's what you're doing there. That's cute, I guess.
I think,
but to me, it was mediocre bad, but I could see this getting rancorous. Like you being like, this is what you give me. Like, and especially again, I just see Noemi Ray Pace with a fucking head in a bag. That's all I wanted.
My problem again with this movie isn't even, it's whatever. Like I to me, it wasn't bad enough to just like totally hate, but it wasn't good enough to really enjoy. It was just kind of a boring mess. My problem with it is because, much like Prometheus, making it so we will never get Guillermo del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness, this movie killed Neil Blomkamp's Alien 5, which right. would have, which I was really interested in. It sounded like it was it was some risky choices. His original idea was to act like Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection didn't exist, and to make a proper Alien 3.
That could have had its own.
It could have been
Neil Blomkamp, but he has his own little problems as a director. And the other thing too, that within interviews, you found out that there was only like a 20-page document. There wasn't a real script, so it could have been just as much of a mess as this.
It absolutely could have been. Just a
few good ideas connected by shower scenes.
Sure. And ultimately, it will always be like the what if, the what could have been. But to me, anymore, Neil Blomkamp is a much more exciting director to me. Like, I'm much more interested in what he's going to do. Whereas Ridley Scott, he admitted he's at this point just catering to the fans. Like, I don't really see any artistic vision. Whereas Neil Blomkamp, I definitely do. It absolutely could have been a mess. I don't know. But I was way more interested in it because the idea of like writing out movies of continuity, but then doing a direct sequel to other movies in continuity, I was like, you know, that would be kind of a bold choice to do. Whereas now we're just stuck in this weird prequel land that of I don't give a fucks and over explaining everything. I was never even really into the idea of this movie from the get-go. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe I just was like so over it before it even came out.
No, because both me and Cassidy's on the much more negative end, and that's fine. I can see that argument. But you know, I find it mediocre bad, and I didn't have a good or bad feeling about it. I literally came into this movie being like, we'll see. And I came out being like, that's kind of mediocrely bad.
Yeah. I went to this movie being like, meh. And I came out like, yeah, meh.
I'm the only reason that it makes me angry, first of all, you guys know me well enough to know that the biggest cardinal sin of any movie is to be boring. And so a lot of times movies that are just mediocre are the ones that make me the most upset. Because it's like, you're spending millions of dollars, fucking do something. And then second of all, I'll admit, there's like some fanboy issues with it. And there's a lot of retconning here. I don't like their explanation for how the eggs are created and how the black alien semen from Prometheus, what it does and what David's doing. I literally saw like a flow chart or some sort of like graphic that tried to explain how all of the different alien species are supposed to be interconnected now, like what the life cycle is. It's a disaster now. It makes no sense. It used to make, like, that was one of the things that was kind of cool about the original Alien, is it's like they invented this kind of biological species that seemed real. Now it doesn't. Now it just seems like fucking weird shit on Magic the Gathering cards. And I don't give a fuck about any of it. And also, to explain it all away as, like, the creation of David, spoilers, I don't care, to create it's so solipsistic. It's like, there couldn't have been this cool other species in space. We had to create it by proxy. Right.
Yeah.
And that's... Well, I get the circle idea, and it could be a good idea. It just was not... But I agree that the fanboy, the connecting it to David and how they connected it to David is a fanboy problem. And I agree with it as a fanboy that it is a turd of an idea.
Right. Also,
yeah,
I'll admit that Michael Fassbender does a cool little dual performance here, because he plays David the robot and Walter the robot. And by the way, the producers of all the Alien films is David Giler and Walter Hill. So
cute.
Yeah. And he does, you know, they're distinct and they're different, and they do some interesting-ish double acting together, but around a movie that I don't care about. I, like, literally once they introduced the weird monkey aliens, I was kind of done. I was like, yeah. Oh, what's going on? Like, my reaction to the movie was like, okay. Oh, interesting space colony thing. Okay. Oh, they're going to land on the planet. That's a lot like Alien. All right. What? What? Okay.
I was okay. I'm a sucker for creature features. Mine was really... Yeah, when they mine was what? Not when they introduced it, but how they introduced everything. It was how they were portraying it. I was like, oh, that's not done very well. I actually, again, I kind of liked the weird stuff in the cave. As long as if the whole movie was in the cave and just Billy Crudup walking around. A lot of
around, it is.
Yeah. It should have been more of that, honestly. I like, again, Fassbender, that kind of, those little moments in the cave, I think, were the most effective. And other than that, it was garbage. I actually, Tennessee.
Danny McBride?
Yeah, Danny McBride. I actually didn't hate him in this.
Well, that's just because he's very charismatic. Whereas, like, what's her name?
I actually hate Danny McBride in most movies. Actually.
Oh, really?
I like him in HBO series, apparently. He's Bounded Down is good, and so is Vice Principals. I like him in those settings.
I don't understand how you could like him in Eastbound and Down, which is him at his most McBrightest.
Because he knows what... When he's doing that in a movie, they don't give time to set up that it's about a douchebag. In that show, it's about a douchebag, and you know that he's a bad person. Like, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. But in a movie, all they do is they have this obnoxious character that comes on, and he says a string of dirty words, and you're supposed to think that's funny because he said fuck, cum, twat, dildo. And then you're supposed to laugh because that was funny.
I thought he was pretty great in that End of the World movie.
No, I liked that movie. That doesn't count.
Okay, that's how bored with this movie we are. We're not even talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
I forgot when I was doing my rant, but the other theme that this movie tries to pretend that it's having is, like, Billy Crudup and Catherine Waterston are supposed to, like, one is supposed to represent sort of, like, a person of faith, and it's like he's following his faith, Billy Crudup, and then Catherine Waterston is supposed to be, like, the science and reason. That theme goes absolutely nowhere.
Agreed. That theme goes... There's no way to save that one. That one was just, like... They had characters.
Really pick up on it till you just said that.
Well, they had a conversation to it. Like, that's what they do. There's like three different scenes where they're like, "Oh, the movie's actually about bigger ideas."
No, I know. And now that you say it, I'm like, "Oh yeah,
that was you're a right." Thing. Yeah.
Let's move on.
It's garbage. Yeah.
Before this becomes a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, we're looking into it. Hello, Jabber fans. Surprise, surprise. This episode went a little too long, our reunion with Keith and Richard. So I'm actually going to split this episode up into two parts. The first part containing all of our Alien reviews, ending with our Alien Covenant review. And then the second part I'll release at the beginning of next week, perhaps Monday or Tuesday of next week. And that'll contain all of our question and answer period from all of the questions that were sent in by the listeners. So if you want to listen to more Q&A about the origins of Jabber and the Drone, some funny stories and anecdotes, a story about me at Sundance in 2008, I was afraid that we were being attacked by terrorists, and more. You can expect that portion of the podcast, which is almost, I believe it's close to 40, 45 minutes alone, just the Q&A portion, early next week, probably Monday. Go ahead and find us on Twitter at Jabber Podcast, and you can always email us for any responses you have to this episode at jabberandthedrone.podbean.com and jabberandthedrone@gmail.com. We have our official plugs at the end of next episode, so stay tuned for that. And thanks for holding in as long as you have. And of course, thank you for joining us on this episode 200 adventure.